In John, in chapter 5, he's kind of repeating a lot of things that he said already, and I want to repeat them as well, because if he repeated them, then it's important. Being a person of God, being a child of God, being born of God, those are all different terms that he uses about us being people who get to know him, walk with him, pray to him, and live in community as far as helping each other make it through into the kingdom of heaven. It's so important. And John described how the world that they were in was already filled with antichrists, that there were people who were teaching bad things about Jesus or ignoring who Jesus is and that kind of stuff. And we're in that environment. And we need God's help. We need his strength. We need each other. We need everything that God has brought to bear in our life in order for us to be his. And part of that is, again, to be born of God, to be born of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. John wants to make sure that we understand there is no separation between Jesus and God, that you cannot have one without the other. That really is a challenge that, you know, we have a lot of people in our world that want to tell us that you can be without Jesus and be okay, that there's another path, another way, another means to get to heaven. And John basically says no. He says if you believe in Jesus Christ, or that Jesus is the Christ, he says you are born of God. You remember when Peter was in Matthew 16, Jesus asked the fellows, he says, you know, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, he says, Peter, blessed are you, because you don't get that without God giving it to you. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that means a lot. That means that Jesus rules over life, he rules over death, he rules in the kingdom of heaven. It means that he is the means of saving us. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of that, it doesn't mean I just believe he existed. It means I believe. And the word believe really means to trust. I believe that Jesus is going to take care of my life now and bring me through this world into eternity. That he is going to save me and bring me into the kingdom of heaven. Everyone who has that heart, everyone who has that idea is born of God. Born of God. John, in the gospel, Jesus said, you know, being born again or born from above, born of God. And there's no disconnection between the Son and the Father. So like people like Muslims that deny Jesus is the Christ, that deny that Jesus died, deny that he rose again, deny that he is the means to get to heaven, they can't have the Father. And whatever they're worshiping is not God. And whatever they're serving is not God. And their kind of works display that in many ways. John wants us to be sure of who we are. When you believe in Jesus, sometimes we make it hard on ourselves. Sometimes we think, you know, yeah, but I said this when somebody cut me off in traffic, or I had this thought and it wasn't right, or I just don't feel like I've done enough. That's not how you get with God. How you get with God is believing in Jesus Christ. And John has said this several times. John connects believing in Christ as many times, and we'll see later, as he connects Christ and eternal life. Believing in who Jesus is so important. It proves, in this case, he says, who we are. I belong to God. I am born of God. In the Gospel of John, he said that Jesus was given authority to make children of God. Not children, not born of by a man or the will of man, but by the will of God we were born. And when we confess Jesus, when we pray this way, like how many songs we sing today about Jesus, right? But, you know, I love talking about Jesus. You realize there's just a power in that name of Jesus. There's a power. I literally have seen demons tremble at the name of Jesus. There is strength in that name. There is power in that name. There's love in that name. There is forgiveness and grace in that name. I believe in that name. And that means I'm a child of God. I hope that everyone here, I see a lot of nodding and, you know, yeah, that we're all on that same page. But that's what makes us born of God. That's what makes us children of God. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. If you love God, you obey Him. Jesus said that when He was with the guys in the upper room. He said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to keep my word. You're going to keep God's commandments. You're going to obey God. And what's the chief commandment of God? You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all that you are. You know, when Paul delivers the gospel in Romans, he gets to Romans 12, and he says, what's our response to this great gospel? He says, give yourself to God as a living sacrifice, which holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable act of worship. That's what he said. So, you know, obeying God, giving myself to God first, then love others. And especially in John, he's talking about loving the family of God, loving the brothers and sisters, loving people. And again, I want to just make it so clear what that means. A smile is nice. A hug is nice. A hearty handshake is nice. All those things are nice. But me or you caring about somebody else making it to the kingdom of heaven, that's God's love. That means sometimes we got to be a little hard. You know, just like you love children, right? You love your children. You don't let your children just do anything they want because they might get hurt. Our love for each other is you know, strong, and it's encouraging, and it's gracious because God empowers it. But it's mainly about us helping each other get through this life into the kingdom of heaven, caring about one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, speaking words of faith to each other. Speaking about, you know, who Jesus is and what He's done. I love it when we hear somebody give a testimony or just talk about the work that God's doing in their life. That just, it's, to me, it's so encouraging, so wonderful just to know God's at work. God's doing things all over the place. And it's really cool. And that's part of what love is. It's encouraging that, encouraging each other to continue to walk. His commands aren't burdensome. It's not like, you know, I got to do all these things. And then just think of what John has described for us. We're a people under the power of God, under the grace of God, under the love of God. We walk in the light with God. We take sin seriously. We don't want to live in sin because that's not what God wants. We keep His word. We hold on to it tight, right? We hold on to that word and we love the community. We are filled with the Spirit. We're filled with truth about who Jesus Christ is. And we are called to love. And He says it, love. And He says it, love. This is like the third time He's brought this up in this epistle. But think of what God has done with all that. He's improving individually, yes. He's improving corporately, yes. And He's binding us all together by His word, His truth, His Holy Spirit. And the command is, stay in that. Stay in what God is doing. Use what God's doing in your life to help others and be a body of Christ, a people of God. It's so awesome. That's the command. Be there for each other. Love one another. That's what. So as we participate in the work of Christ, as we participate in Christ, I should say, working in us, and then we work that out with each other, we are obeying the Father. That's all. That's it. That's it. It's not hard. The stuff that we tend to worry about or think about that, you know, man, I'm not cutting it. I'm not quite getting it. It's really bigger than that. And it's not dependent as much on us as it is God's work in us and through us for each other, right? So, it says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Now, this is, again, what's the goal of this love and power and grace of God? It's to overcome the world. The world, he says later, is a wicked place. The world has a lot of bad ideas. They're teaching people that God doesn't exist. They're teaching people that we're all bugs. They're teaching us all kinds of foolishness. They allow all kinds of false religion, and they love it. They embrace it, and they do not like true religion. They don't like Jesus, not the real Jesus. The world doesn't. And we have to get through this. In the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Asia, he talks to each one and he talks to them about how they're doing. And you know, two of them are doing really bad, two of them are doing really good, and three of them are right in the middle of all that. But to each one of those, he gives a promise. He says, I'm going to give you the right to eat of the tree of life. I'm going to give you a crown. I'm going to let you sit on a throne. You're going to be a pillar in the temple. You're going to get a white robe to wear in the kingdom of heaven. All these great promises, and they're all given to those who overcome the world. And how do they overcome? They overcome by their testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's the one that's going to pull me out of here and bring me into the kingdom. Jesus' blood atones for all sin, and his Spirit makes me his. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we overcome. It's that simple. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I get to testify to that all the time. You, I hope, get to testify to that all the time. I hope when you start to doubt yourself and doubt what's going on, that you will testify to yourself, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the one that's going to pull me from this world into the kingdom of God. Jesus is my King. He is my Lord. That shakes up all kinds of bad spiritual things. When you confess Jesus Christ, and that's what, you know, again, the book of Revelation, it talks about the saints, millions of them, dressed in white robes, and it says they overcame by the testimony of the Lamb and the blood. That's how they overcome. So who is it that overcomes? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now, that's an interesting statement, and people have debated what it means, water and blood. Some people, because when they stabbed him, water and blood flowed from his side. And they would say, well, that's connected to the Old Testament, where water and blood were used as the means of dealing with sin. Another way to think about it is the baptism of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is his earthly ministry. And one of the big problems in John's time is they're questioning who Jesus is, and people are doubting it, and they left the church. And he's telling them, we know who Jesus is. And no matter how you take those two symbols, the point of it is a testimony about who Jesus is, how he lived, how he died, and what he means to us. And the Spirit bears witness to that truth. The Spirit bears witness to that truth. So he says, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. And so whatever the water and blood means, it's in agreement with what God has said. And we've got pages and pages of what God has said Jesus is. So we don't need to get too crazy about understanding the symbols as understanding that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one who, yes, he got baptized. Yes, he died for our sins. And yes, blood and water flowed from his side. And all that matters is I believe in him and in the power of everything he did. I believe in him and the power of everything he did. That's God's testimony. You ever find yourself doubting your own walk, your own faith? Who told you about Jesus? You might think a man or a person, several people told me about Jesus. But ultimately, God was the one that sent the Messiah. God was the one that created the gospel. This isn't my gospel. This is God's gospel. This isn't my Jesus. It is God's Jesus. And God gave us that so that we could have him and be with him, and love him, and love one another, and be the people that he's always wanted. God wants that people. God wants a people that love him, love each other, and have Jesus Christ guiding and strengthening them in every way. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone that does not believe in God has made him out to be a liar. In other words, you either agree with God or you disagree with God. I think disagreeing with God is a bad idea. What do you think? You know, I don't want to, I was talking about, you know, when we get to heaven and you know, we have all these theological questions and things. When we get to heaven, Nobody's going to doubt whether Jesus is real, because there he is. And I mean, you know, nobody's going to doubt that he deserves to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? Our knees are going to buckle, our tongues are going to confess, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. Jesus Christ, you are King. And we're going to see the almighty power of God, the Father. No question about it. Here, people can choose to ignore God. Here, people can choose to disagree with God. But the day comes when that's all over. And those of us who are not ignoring God and listening to God and taking what God has given us, we're going to be in good shape. Those who are calling God a liar, I mean, that's a bad idea. They're going to have a shock. We don't want that. Because he's not believed in the testimony of his only Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life in his Son. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John uses believe in two different ways throughout his gospel in here. One is you believe in who Jesus is. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, all those things we've been saying, you believe that. The second one is when you believe, you have eternal life. And about equal time, about 10 plus times on each side, he says you believe in Jesus Christ, and when you believe, you have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's so simple, isn't it? I mean, the gospel can be that simple, but it's also very deep as we live it out and walk in it. But John wants them to just go back to the very foundation. What's it about? What does it mean to be born of God? What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to have eternal life? How does it come? And the answer is very simple. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the King. Jesus is my Lord. We profess that faith, we believe in Jesus, we confess Jesus, and we do that to our last breath. And we have eternal life. When you worship and praise and say the name of Jesus, that spirit that kind of lightens your heart, makes you feel different spiritually, it's a testimony. It's the Spirit of God testifying. You have eternal life through Jesus Christ. You have believed in Jesus, and therefore you will never die. Jesus is not a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Amen.